Father, we just thank you for your great love. Oh, for your wonderful strength, that wonderful peace, and your pardon, your redemption, your healing virtue, your blessings upon blessings. And Father, we just praise you this wonderful day, for you're worthy of all praise. You're worthy of all glory. You're worthy of all honor. And Father, we just honor you and we praise you and we glorify that wonderful name, that name of that your special son, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we proclaim this day as this service right now to be as your service designed from heaven. And Father, I don't have any understanding exactly where to go, but I pray that you'd open my heart, my mind, my will to thy being. Father, that you would just use me for your glory. And Father, I pray that you'd come against this problem in my ear right now. And Father, I pray that you'd remove what I'm hearing, the extra things that I hear from it. And Father, I pray that it'll all be as one hearing thee only. And Father, we renounce and we come against the wicked one in the name of Jesus. We pray that he has no place in this room. Father, there is no power of his that can be in this room. And Father, we thank you that where your spirit is, there is liberty. There is freedom. There is just rewards. There's beneficial blessings, everlasting love, and all the good things that you promote. And Father, we know in your word that every good and perfect gift comes from you, whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And Father, we know that you are the arranger of our lives. You are the giver of every good and perfect gift. And Father, we pray for the mighty anointing to bless each heart this day. And Father, we pray for the peace of heaven to come down. Oh, touch your people afresh and anew by the power of the anointing. Lord, we praise you this day. Wonderful Lord, we praise you. We exalt thee. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thou art wonderful. Satan, you're trying to get in, but we come against you in the name of Jesus. Get out of this area in Jesus' name. We proclaim it as off limits to you this day. And Father, we pray a mighty blessing upon God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, we want you to come in to be with us. I want you to move with us as only you can. And this is your territory. This is your hour. Holy Ghost, we thank you, Lord, that you be up preeminent in this place, this room. And we thank you. We praise you. We thank you for that coaching that only you can do. We thank you for that transformation power that only you can give. And Father, we thank you for that sealing that reassures us constantly that we have redemption, that we're more than partakers with the good things of heaven. And Father, the old man has been crucified and the new man is being alive, been raised up to do thy glory, to walk in thy peace, walk in thy loving kindness, thy tender mercy. And Father, we give you glory and honor, and we thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. I'm going to start out this afternoon what the Lord has showed me just last Thursday night. But the Lord really spoke in different phases. But he told me that his churches and his people are really not where they should be, most of them. And there's some areas that he wishes for us, because basically what we're doing, God made it so clear. I mean, if someone say, well, they don't see it that way, well, that's okay, but that's what God showed me. And I believe him. He says our churches are coming to the same practicality as the Catholics used to be. That they set the priest is as the figure that would take them into heaven. That they could live loosely in this world. They could have just a slight invitation to God, and they was okay because of that day, and that would be in the hearts of these people, the recipients of that parish, that church, that group of people, that by doing this, that they will remain saved. But God spoke to my heart, it's not the way it really is. You can't have another man take your... Only God can choose where you're going to make it to heaven or not. Only God knows where you're going to end after you leave this world. Only God understands the hearts of our people. Only God is the one that can judge. We cannot do these things. Only God. And it's a displeasure against God when we say that man can do this. But the way the churches grow, the Lord spoke to my heart, it's so easy for this to take over because there is no work of the Spirit. They don't have to worry about someone coming into the service and giving up some word of prophecy and these things that they figure bring us down. But they can do their own works. The pastor can make out whatever he wants. And this is so. And he controls, he manipulates, and it's by him. But the people like it. that people enjoy it because there's nothing, all they got to do is be involved with that church, whatever they do, and be involved in all their picnics, all whatever they do, be involved with it. That involvement is all, but they forget God has no fellowship with these people. And God wants fellowship as on one-to-one. He wants us to realize that He comes to live within our heart. He's there that He might work upon us in a very special and a very permanent way. The Lord also spoke to my heart that patience is one of the areas that we fall short in, and in doing that makes this work even greater because we have no patience. You know, when we start getting with God, we got to have the wait upon God. And when you wait upon God, it means that you've got patience in God, that eventually you might have to wait years, but that will finally come. God does it for a reason, that through this you would grow in Him. He's not really concerned how long it takes, but we're concerned about how long it takes. If it's over 5 minutes, that's too long for me to tarry. That's what people think. That's too long to wait upon God. They want instantaneous success. So when they get in trouble, they don't wait upon God. They get some man, some woman to come to pray for them. God says, seek me first. God wants to use us all. God wants to bring us a place that we can all pray, that we can seek face. There's plenty of work for each one of us if we would stand steadfast in the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was two twin boys in the Bible, and they didn't have patience at all. Esau and Jacob, those two boys did not have patience. You can prove it because, well, the Word of God says it's so. You know, here Esau, he comes in, and you know, he was hungry. He could know that if he could wait 15 hours or 10 hours, he wasn't going to die. But he got so impatient, he was willing to sell his birthright for just something to eat. How foolish, how foolish. We might think that's foolish, but that's the way we are. We give up our birthright for nothing. We give our birthright up to just get in the line, up there in the line, when the line's taking you nowhere. God is what we need. We're taking the line of humanity, and this line of humanity, we come into that slot, and we want to jump faces because we're so wonderful, you know, so on, and I'll get up ahead of you. But that line that you're getting in is taking you nowhere. It's going to take you down. It's going to dissolve what God has planned for you. It's going to dissolve the vitality that God has around you and in you and about you. And that vitality comes from serving the Lord, the living God. You know, I listen to these messages, but they have no answers, many of them. God has an answer for all these messages. Yes, this earth and America is having desperately wrong problems. I've discussed with many, Brother Clint, many times. Terrible things. I knew what was going to take place in New Orleans before it took place. But we need the answer. He come up. Why is it coming forth? Because wickedness has arisen. Wickedness is out there to be conquered. And it be conquered through the living lives of God's beloved children will live holy, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking to the blessed hope and glorious appearance of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself to have a peculiar people, zealous of good works. But see, this is a void because we're not there. We've lost patience. So here we get Jacob, and Jacob, he doesn't want to wait on his birthright. You know, God was going to give Jacob because God favored Jacob. But Jacob could not understand it. So Jacob says, okay, if he had love, love suffered long as God. He didn't really care about his brother. He was very, cordial with him. Says, well, you know, okay, I've got the answer for you, brother, over here. You know, oh, you just come over here and eat of my porridge. Eat of my, what I have for you. We might think this is crazy, what I'm saying, but it's God. We do the same thing in ourselves. We need the invitation of the Spirit of God. I've lived through it, and we must wait upon God. We can't do it within some time. And if the answer's not there, don't say it's there until it's really there. Wait upon God. He is the absolute perfect one. And we need to wait and process ourselves in Him, in His deity, by the power of the Holy Ghost. And if you're out of step with God, you're not going to get that. You've got to get out of the problem dissolved there before you can even couple up. Before the load that God has for you to couple up to. We must resist the things of this world, the cares of this world, because these cares and all these activity of the world has a way of suffocating our experience of God. The experience of God just sort of stifles there, and pretty soon it gets very stagnant, and pretty soon it dissolves itself, and the Lord has already left. The Holy Ghost, He's there, He's already left us. We find ourselves there with no avail. We're with no power, with no strength. We're no overflowing. We should have an overflow of God. Happy is the man whose God is the Lord. We should be so happy in God that we speak every day of our life, I'm happy in Jesus. Jesus is my strength. Yes, we should confess it daily that He is my deliverer. He is my constant friend. He is my ally. He is my Father. He is my everything. He is my the one that can speak within my heart. He's the one that loves me. The one that possesses me. He is, I'm possessed by the King of Kings. And I speak that daily. I am possessed. Yes, by God. I'm possessed by the living God. I'm possessed by His fruit. I'm possessed by the joy of the Lord. You know, right now I'm not hearing wrong. The Spirit of God is coming down like a mighty artesian well from heaven. And that's what we need, that ally with God that can dissolve. And our pastors don't understand this. They don't understand how we can come to that place that they wait upon. But God just used God's basic words. And I'll guarantee if you'll do it, one day you will be working in it. If you'll have faith in God, have trust in God, being able to wait upon Him, not get angry with God and say, Lord, why aren't you touching me? The Lord says, just wait upon me, my one. I love you. I want you to quit getting angry. It's one thing. I want you to quit having impatience. I want you to be patient, not impatient. Impatient is something you want to have it done before you even need it. We need to grow in our mind. Let this mind be in you, which is Christ Jesus, that is renewing every mind, that you might prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And you have that in you. You're more than conquerors through Him which loves you. That is greater than all the press that can arrive. If God has a press like the People's Press that tells all these things, it would be unspeakable what God could do. It's by faith. It's by accepting desires. You know, most of our preaching is done through hermeneutics. I went to Bible school but I flunked out because, you know, I just didn't have it. I didn't have the right words. God told me, I never will forget it. He says, why don't you go to Korea? I said, in the army? And the Lord says, yes. And I says, why? He says, I want you to live it there before you start living it here. I'm going to put you in an environment that you're going to be by your lonesome. And you're going to be almost hated at first, but after a while, you'll see a turnaround. And truly it was. Oh, I feel the glory of God come. God wants us to do the little things first. When I had that with the tree tractor, the Lord says, I said, Lord, I want a ministry. He says, you got a big one. Every customer you got, it's your ministry. And I said, well, how can I help? And he said, go out at night when I tell you to, cover up their exhaust pipes. I said, Lord, they don't even know about it. He said, I know it, but I see it. So I went out in the middle of the night and I'd cover up, take someone, and I'd drive many miles. And God would tell me where to go. And surely they wouldn't have an exhaust pipe on. In those days, it was before the turbocharged engine, and rain would come down through the exhaust pipe. And if you didn't cover it up, you was in big trouble if it was a hard rain before the next day. You was in serious trouble. So we start learning by doing the little things of God that bring us an access into God. But we have to learn to be obedient in the little things before you ever be contributed to the big things. And obedience is better than sacrifice. We, as God's people, many times we have a prone to want to sacrifice. Oh, you know, I'm going to get out here and I'm going to do the little things right, but I'm going to ask God to forgive me. But the Bible says it'd be better to have never sinned. To not come into that spot where you need God's redemption. Yes, God's redemption is wonderful, but it's not to be used, to be exploited, to have your success. Our success is in Him, not contribute to the things that are wrong and testing whether I'm going to be forgiven or not be forgiven. There should be no that not be in my mind. I don't want to sin because I love my God. I don't want to sin because it's God's law. It's His territory. I don't want to tempt Him the way that I can go out and live unrighteously for 6 months and come back and have this testimony. Well, you know, I lived 6 months and God superly healed me or whatever. That can be in our minds. And if it's what I'm trying to bring out, we should not do these things as for our self-gain, for our self-importance. It's a shame when we sin for God. We should be shameful. We should be very at unease. You know, when we sin, you know, I remember when I was a little boy, I did something wrong, and I went the next Sunday morning to church, and I thought everybody in that church knew what I did, and I tell you, I never have forgotten. I was so uncomfortable, because God knew my heart, and I was in a church that didn't believe in the power of the Holy Ghost, but I knew that my God could see everything that I did, and I was shamefully, and it brought something to my heart right then. I was about 9 or 10 years old. Hallelujah. We need to grow in the nature and admonition of God. If God be for us, who can there be that will be against us? Greater is He that's within us than He that's in the world. We have a greater strength. We have a greater personality. Our personalities actually fail. And God wants to actually, that I would give my personality to God and say, Lord, I want you to take residency in my body. That I would give it as unto the Lord and said, Lord, I know that I'm going to make mistakes without you. That should be in our heart. And what we're doing, we take a great ministry. Oh, you know, if I could just have this great ministry, you know, people would just be so. When I was in jail ministry, but I thank God that I didn't ever take it that way. I did it because God says do it. And as soon as God says don't do it, I got out of it. And I think that's the way every step of our life, every day when we get up in the morning, Lord, you order my steps this morning, and I'm going to stay right here, and I'm going to wait on you till you tell me to move. That might be a little deliberate in some people because you have to grow. But there comes a time in your life that you can actually plan your walk in that direction. God is on time, and if you wait upon Him, He will renew your strength. You mount up wings of eagles, and you'll run and not be weary, and you'll walk and not faint. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary of the devil going around as a roaring lion seeketh him who may devour, who resists steadfast in the faith, knowing the same affliction are accomplished in the brethren that is in the world. We've all been tempted. We've all failed God. But still that doesn't get us a license to keep sinning. God wants us to take obedience. He wants us to come down to that place that we love Him that much. As the Bible, Jesus said, if you love me, ye will keep my commandments. The bottom line is, if we don't keep His commandments, Jesus says, hey, you're not loving me very much. Lovest thou me more than these things? And truly, that's it. Some of these things we love more than we do God. We love God if it's going our way. We love God when I'm really, you know, I'm shining out here, I'm a happy star, and everybody knows that I'm just so-and-so. But reality, I'm eating up inside because that's what's in my heart. I'm eating up because I want people to think that I'm grand when I'm nothing. But when I feel good is when I realize that I have to surrender to my God. Lord, without you, I have no patience. Without you, I have no direction. I want your nature, Father God. I realize that you give your only Son, Jesus. And if I could believe on your Son, Jesus, your word declares that any man be in your Son, I shall be a new creature. Former things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. We can have that in our heart and mean it and speak it to our Heavenly Father. And God makes great pardon for us. He brings a great blessing upon us and bestows upon us His everlasting love. That fatherly love is beyond our imagination. What His love is. The love of God is beyond our imagination. He loves us when we're not lovely. He loves us when we're unmanageable. He loves us, but He's seeking for those who will love Him beyond that, forceful. You know, we like to be in that place of, you know, so if He forced me, I'll act that way. But you know, that's where our lies are made up many times. We think, well, long as if no one really knows me, I can get down here and I can get sharp with people and I can be unkind to them at times. But you have no character. Character is you do it when no one's looking. You do it more so when no one's looking than you do when they're looking. Because your character is that I want to please God. Our character should be flawless in God. Our determination to serve God, that we stay in a place. I get upset with pastors when they get up and say, now all of you are not right with God, come up. But if our hearts condemn us not, then we have nothing to come up and to be ashamed of. And that's what we should be. And our pastors, whoever, we should not condone people like that, but actually lift them up. That's what we should be. We should have a heart of praise. And we would be doing a falsehood if we went up and witnessed to something that we were not guilty of. If you did not commit murder, you should say, I did not commit murder because God tells me that's against and I have not done my heart. Well, they say, well, you just committed anyway. No, I'm not going to speak. The Bible says, Out of the abundance of heart, the mind speaketh. We're not to even speak about those things which are done in darkness. We're not to speak about the things that we have, the untruth. It becomes an untruth. And when our churches become untruth because they're speaking not from the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the only one. You should know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Without the Holy Ghost of heaven, we're living in a waxing time when there is no importance on the Spirit of God. There's no importance on God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy. There's no importance on the Word of God. The Word of God is there to bring us into the place of the Holy Ghost is real. He is perfect. He brings redemption. He brings the confession that I will love the Lord, but I want Him to forgive me of all my failings, all my desires, and I wish Him to come and live within me, that I might come into perfection. The Word of God talks about perfection constantly. It's a word in the King James that I love, because when it has perfection, it means that God wants us to arrange our lives to such a degree that we commit ourselves totally to the great I Am. We're there lifting up holy hands, praising Him, and seeking a wonderful faith from heaven, that our eyes might lift up in a higher plateau, a higher calling, that we can rebuke sin, we can rebuke the devourer, the enemy. In John 10:10, it says, He cometh to kill, destroy, and steal. But it says, I shall give you life and give you more abundantly. God has given us power over death, grave, and hell. God has given us a victorious life that we will walk holy, that you abide in me and my words abide in you. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done. Casting all your cares upon me, for I care for you. Be sober. Be vigilant. Hallelujah. If God be for us, who can be against us? We're more than conquerors through Him which loves us. Romans the 8th chapter talks about, midway through, just becomes where it says, about the move of the Spirit. There are talks there about that our salvation is through hope. Hope is a wonderful product. And you can't have it till you get rid of these others. Patience brings experience. Experience hope. Tribulation worketh patience. Tribulation works patience. Very simple. When you're going through tribulation, you need patience to go with the tribulation, because God will take that from you if you'll stay committed to God at that time. He'll validate your ticket. He'll validate you. You're not guilty, not guilty. Just stay where you are, my son, my daughter. I shall bring you through this, and wait upon me, and I shall bring forth correction, and I shall touch you, and I shall move upon you as only I, the Lord thy God, can do. If my people shall come to that desire, I, the Lord thy God, shall move down them mightily, and I shall deliver them, and I shall bring them out of oppression, and they will not feel guilty in their hearts no longer, but they will feel blessed by the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory, and they shall have the anointing. They shall have the anointing all upon them, and they shall walk in praise. They will walk with my happiness in their hearts. God wants us to be a happy people. God wants us to be a joyful people. God wants us to be an honest people. God wants us to walk, sister Jan, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. We have the well of salvation. Isaiah the 12th, the joy of the well of salvation. Hallelujah. I feel the glory of God from the very crown of my head, the very soul of my feet. God is here to bless, to instruct. Aren't you glad that God can move on a simple nobody? I'm a simple nobody, but God is everything. He is everything to behold. He is everything to be worshipped. I am nothing, but He is worthy of all worship. He is worthy of all praise. He is worthy of all honor. He is worthy of all deity. And one of these days, we're not going to be in these carnal bodies no longer. And that time, I shall fly through heaven. Hallelujah! Glory to God. And now I just fly in the Spirit. But we need to be in the Spirit. Apostle said, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I know we're not in the Spirit all the time. But when we're there right now, it's wonderful. It's agape God's glory. It's something to desire. It's like the glory of God that comes in your heart and life to melt us, to strengthen us. God wants to bring you joy. Each one of us, the joy of the Lord is our everlasting health, our strength, that we would be more than conquerors. When you lay hands on the sick, you know they're going to recover. You know that when God speaks to your heart, you know it's been said and done. It's real. You don't brag about it, but you just do it, and God gets the glory. Hallelujah. Happy is the man whose God is the Lord. Happy, 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 happy. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Merry heart doeth good like a medicine. The medicine of God with us. We need that correction from God that benefits us, that blesses us, that sets us for our feet on fire by the Spirit of God. Our heads, our direction is anointed by God, and we don't quiver. We walk very stable in the Lord. We walk stable in God. We don't shake around, because God makes us strong. He makes more than conquerors in Him. He becomes our high tower. He becomes the arranger. He becomes the one that perfects us. He's the one that liberates us. He's the one that justifies us. He's the one that brings us to that place of His authority. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is here to worship Him, to bless us, to strengthen us in a mighty way. God is here that He might suspend us as where there's no air. Think about it. I believe that God is going to actually translate some people in these last days. And that's, we'll be translated from this point to this point through the Spirit. God is miraculous. He's wonderful. But there's so much unfaith, disbelief in the churches of God that the people don't even know how to pray. They've forgotten. They don't know how to come to God. They've never been there before. People need to get on their knees and pray and seek God till the Spirit of God comes down upon them. That's a blessing from God. That's a truth that God needs to bless us in a mighty way. We find that our churches are very lax in these areas. They want great promotions. They want great arrangements of great advertisement by the heathen. And I'm saying the heathen is the people. They want great advertisement. That means what they're doing is blessed. It's newspaper ad. It's headlines. It's glory. You go down to Church B and you're going to have all the power of Church A and you're going to have Church C and Church D and all this because you're there at Church B. But God is beyond all that. Yes, churches are very well needed, but they're needed to work through the Spirit of God. God wants to bless them. He wants to anoint them, but they become selfish. They will not allow the Spirit of God to have His residency, that God is in them, for it is His church. And we're only there as occupants for a short season. And that's what's happened to our churches. They have not given over that power range that God is invisible God, but God's there to dismantle many things that we have as profitable in the man of our makeup of man. God wants to be supernaturally moved upon by His glory. We supernaturally lift up in higher places by His covering. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And says, I will say unto the Lord, He is my refuge. I will lift my eyes to the hills. Whence come my help? For my help comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're more than conquerors through Him which loved us. I'm persuaded neither life nor death nor angels nor principalities, the things present, neither height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The only way that we can maintain that is by the Spirit of God. There is no way that we can maintain these areas only by the Spirit of God. You know, I just did a little job down here in a church. The motor grader was too big for the road. But what needed to be done? There's no way because the road's too little. And that's the way we got it. Our lives are too little. We need to grow up and become to the tool that God will work over us. That road needs to be widened out about twice as wide, at least twice as wide, and then it can get in there and take out these chuck holes. But you can't take chuck holes out until you can get to take care of the dirt while you're taking the chuck holes out, because both sides is grass, which don't fit in road beds, and all the debris that's in the ditches, we need to widen out that you can have a lifestyle that God can honor, that God can maintain it. That God can keep the chuck holes out. That God can be faithful. We got to grow to God. We got to make our roads bigger. We can't make it with our little old half-hearted arcs of God. We need an enlargement of our spirit. We need an enlargement of God. We need the controlling factor of God, that God can handle us with His glory. God is too big when we're too small. Men like us to be small. But God wants to grow in Him, that we would grow in the nature, the admonition of God, that we would be more than conquerors through Him which loved us, that we would walk upright. But that's a very good example. We need to enlarge ourselves. We need to enlarge our glory. We need to enlarge our prayers. We need to enlarge our faith. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just thank you for giving me this day that I feel this, where I've been feeling sick. Lord God, you've enabled me this day by the power of the Holy One. And Father, I praise you this day. I come against this awfulness that I have, Father, this symptom, and I turn it back to the pits of hell. And Lord God, I pray that you'd process me to become a healed person, that you'd anoint me by the presence of God, and Lord God, that I would speak the truth, even though one in this world will speak come to hear me, that I will continue preaching your word, that I will preach your word without exhausting, that I will preach the word and have favor with you, Father God. And Father God, I will speak thy will, O Lord. And Father, I pray that you'd move mightily. And I pray that you'd give them a satana, for I, the Lord thy God, am here today to help thee, my ones. For I say truly, my church is very at ease this day. I say they've learned to move through programs. They've learned to move through the hearts of men. They've learned to decrease. Instead of getting bigger, they decrease to the point that they have no faith. Many have lost their first love. Many have lost that hope that when they once had. And they're looking for the conditions round about. They're putting blame on everything around them. They need to take belief in themselves that they cannot blame no other. They need to blame themselves that they might have the Lord thy God and come to the Lord thy God with repentance. And with repentance, I, the Lord thy God, if they shall call upon me, I will be there to, with my joy, to hear and answer their cry, and I shall set them free. But I say my people will not listen to my spirit. They've been taught it's impolite. It's not for the people nowadays, but I say it is my spirit. And I say for those who have brought this heresies into my people, I say I shall come against them. And those ones who have publicized these wrongdoings and have allowed it to come into my ranks, I say they shall have serious consequences, says the Spirit of God. For I say they have caused much turmoil to the ranks of my beloved. They've caused much misery. They've caused many to go to devil's hell. And I say it's not the heart of God for these things to be upon my people. For I want my people to be a separated people, a holy people, a no longer vexed by the parts of the enemy. And I say there's a controlling factor within these ones. And I say the enemy is at the door and many places in their place their worship. For I'm coming forth of her a peculiar people, a zealous people that will walk upright. For I says that on my word, say in the 2 Thessalonians, that on that day the enemy will come in as Satan himself, sitting in the chief seats of my worship. And I say it's coming to pass. Many, many, many that have once known me this day have lived loosely. But the possession is no longer by me. So that it puts it in either their self or the enemy. For either one is wrong. Either one needs correction. For my people need to be saved. My people need to be on fire. My people need to know the joy of the Lord. My people need to realize that I, the Lord thy God, sanction no other but the power of my spirit in this last hour. For he is the one. It's his season. It's his time. It's time. It's his time. The Holy Ghost is here to reprove, to lift up, to encourage, to bring healing, to bring joy, to bring recompense to those that are cast down, that they might be saved. But I say, my people, many are far from in this hour. For I love my people. And my people need still come to assemble themselves. They're constantly wanting to do my will. But they're doing it through the hearts of men. They're doing it because they do not know the Spirit of God that I have sent. That he would live within these. In thy own confine. That thou would be blessed no longer by men. But thou would be blessed by the Lord thy God in heaven. And I say these untruths have brought great destruction. There's many consequences that have been laid at the doors, and many people cannot say that God, the Lord thy God, I'm guilty, but I say they are guilty, says the Spirit of God. They've forgotten my love. They've forgotten my spirit. And they put him out of their places. They put him out that he can no longer speak, that he can no longer teach, that he can no longer be the number one in that place. With that, there's going to be great correction being done to these that oppose my spirit. Saith us, Lord, for I say those that oppose my spirit, I shall deal with them. Be not weary in well-doing, my people, for if thou shalt have faith in the Lord thy God, in my time I shall open the doors at this last hour, and thou shalt see great things happen if thou shalt remain close to me at this hour. Because I say it's a time of searching. It's a time for thee, my ones, to receive me with gladness. Come before my presence. Come before me, and I, the Lord thy God, shall uplift thee, and I shall give thee a strength. I shall give thee a boldness, and I shall give thee a blessing, that thou shalt be able to maintain, and thou wilt not be dissolved by the powers of darkness, but otherwise thou wilt be multiplied greater and greater and greater, because of the Spirit of God is in you and upon you and over you and through you in a mighty way. You shall see great miracles happen if thou shalt remain faithful. You will see my salvation work among those if thou shalt remain faithful, casting all your cares upon me, for I care for you. My beloved, I love thee. Be not afraid, for I have not given the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Remember, greater is he that is within you, he that is within the world. Remember that I, the Lord thy God, loveth those ones, will cast all the cares upon me, for I am here to say, to bless thee, for I am coming through the cloud, the north. And I say, many of my people do not understand it. I am coming, sending back very shortly. There's going to be a time when all is ended upon this earth. And I said, I'm coming back for my redeemed. And my redeemed shall be at that day, and they shall be found, brought into perfection, and they shall live with me forever and ever and ever. But I say, and they shall also, after a few, that wedding feast, that I can't even explain what it, God showed me it is. It's beyond any understanding. It's beyond the highest calling, what God wants to do with his beloved. And after that, there's going to be a surge from heaven. And I say, Jesus is going to be on that white horse. And ye, my beloved, are going to follow. And you're going to go down to Mount Olives. And you're going to have, and God the Father is going to set all things in order at that time. And you're going to be with him. And you're going to be, the bride of Christ is going to be there in a mighty way. For I am the Lord thy God. We're going to use my people mightily. And I say for those for 1,000 years, I say many shall become at this hour that you live now shall be kings and priests. You, if you live faithful now, that you will be over many cities. For I shall grant my blessing upon thee. Thou shalt live upon this earth another 1,000 years. I say even after the wedding supper, it's going to be a wonderful day. It's something that only you cannot, if man or woman can't imagine what I have for thee, my beloved. It's beyond the understanding. I said the enemy wants you to be darkened, that you don't keep that. But we need that vision constantly, that you know where you're headed. You know that you're in the hands of your Father. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be wonder, because he will declare it to my beloved. And ye shall be walking in victory. You will walk not denied, and you will walk in faithfulness, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. I don't know what said, but I know it was good. Boy. Praise God. You know, God knows my heart. He'd strike me dead if I was, but I had no idea what was going to go on here today. But this is what God wishes for. You don't have to come to the same place I'm at, because I don't think you got time. But there is a place that you can, you don't have to worry. You don't have to be concerned. And you know, when you compromise with someone of less faith, you know what you do? You bring yourself down. You can't compromise. If it's your wife or your husband, you just can't do it. You've got to maintain. God says, my people must maintain, because it's your life. It's your, what you're going, it's what you're made of. God doesn't want to destroy us. He wants to liberate us. He wants to fulfill, Sister Jan, Sister, all of you here today. He wants to deliver us to a place that we can qualify for that heavenly journey. Oh, hallelujah. That's going to be a journey beyond journeys. Hallelujah. Sister Gregory's got a book about something about journey. But this journey is going to be beyond all journeys. It's going to be a journey by the Spirit of God. You're laying up rewards in heaven. You've got a bank account up there. And that bank account, when you give it, and the Bible says every even cup of water is in his name. God records it. Everything that you do for God, God takes it as unto him. And that's what we need to work in, that we've not left ourselves treasures that's going to be beneficial to me, but I would do it as what God wishes me to do. You know, I gave up a couple pastor jobs, and because both times the Lord says, it's your time's through. And I didn't really want to quit either time. And I'm jail ministry the same way. But everything that we do, we need to quit when God says. And sometimes he permits us to be a slow getting started, but he wants us to quit when he says quit. Because if we don't quit, there's going to be some entanglement that takes place in that quitting time that may taunt blackness into our hearts and life, that we lose a little of that what we've gained. Like it puts like white paint, putting a bunch of black paint in it, and it sort of dissolves the luster, the glorious color of white. And that's what happens to us. We need to stop. Always when God says stop. I went one day, I'm closing, but I was going to Portola. My brother was dying. The Lord had showed me Earl was going to die. Showed me the casket he was living in. Here it was very hard for me because my family was, you can't tell them those kind of things. They wouldn't even know what you're talking about. But I seen God raise him up about 4 times. And Betty had went up with my folks. And on a Saturday morning, I'd work. I was flying high. This Saturday morning, I got up. The Spirit of God says, before this day is over, when I through this day, sometimes when I tell you to stop, you stop. When I say stop, you'll know it's me. So here I drive all the way up to long ways. Got up there and I see my brother and Betty. My folks are there too. So as time goes on, these things, we're human, and they have a tendency of losing the importance. Time has the tendency, when you have something right now, to lose it. What I want to project, don't lose what God's given you. Whatever it takes, and that's why I don't stay around service afterwards many times, because I don't want, if God's moving, I don't want to lose it. I want to maintain in me that's not spoiled or tarnished or removed through an ugliness that God doesn't wish. So that day I went, and we, on the way back, I got Betty and Phyllis, and we was driving back, and Phyllis said, I'd like to stop. And I thought, oh boy, this, see, I'm trying to work in my own heart. No, we can't do it in our home. God does it. So we got to stop. She wanted to stop and have supper. I thought to myself, well, maybe by some I'll be in here in the Lord. I just, you know how we think these things in our minds. I was thinking on things that God, but I didn't leave them at Jesus. So we left there and nothing happened. So, but I knew in my heart that God had said what he did. So I got home. It was in the summer times, I remember. I remember the grass. It was on Saturday evening. And we had, the lawn had gotten up, because I worked pretty regular basis, so the grass was up pretty high. So I told Betty, I said, I'm going to get the lawnmower and I'm going to cut the grass before, cut it real fast. I got out of the car and I remember I went over to where this big plywood was that set over this back of the fence where the lawnmower was at. And when I got to touch that plywood, I was coming in, the plywood's laid at an angle like this against a 6-foot fence that we had. But the Spirit of God just is clear through all this turmoil. Says, stop. I stop, and the Lord says, look what's under that plywood. And it was a porcupine. I've never seen one that big. He was this tall, and he was there just for me. See, I've thought about that. How would God know that we've never seen a porcupine, but how would God know that that porcupine was going to be there at exactly that time? Now, you tell me that God isn't perfect. And at that time, when I touched that, God says, stop. It's your life. And I couldn't, I was amazed, but if God had it all worked out, here Ray was across the way, and he was a policeman. And Ray says, what's wrong? I said, I've got a porcupine. He says, what you say? I said, yeah, I got into it. I said, God saved me. And he says, I'll be there and shoot it. So he shot the porcupine, biggest porcupine I ever seen. And here the dog catcher drew up at the same moment, and God disposed of all of it immediately. God was in God's time. The dog catcher, policeman, myself, and everything was perfect. You know, I thought every time, God is always in it. God spoke to me one time of being, it used to be a gas oxygen settling place here in town, different management now. Spirit of God told me to get there, that when I get there, that I would see a need, and it would be someone that was having a problem with a hand. And I got there, and this woman had just crushed her hand in a door of a vehicle. And I got out, and I got the first aid kit, and applied it, and she was swearing, cursing, and I said, I'm just here to help you. And you know, she just melted. That lady just melted. She said, I'm sorry. I says, you know, and she was just swearing, cursing. So it's something that puts you at the right tenor, the right place, at that right position, that you respond as God would respond in you, for you, through you. I've lived through these areas, and I know what it means. And God says, well done, my faithful servant. You'll not have to go through this test again. There'd be something else that God would prove God. But I've had the luxury, I guess luxury, to see many, many, many. Brother Clint has got a history of things that God has blessed. And how that Nancy, having known where she would be at the right time, and I would see her hit the tree, and how that Dodge pickup just shattered, and how God saved her, and how I prayed for her, and the blood was running down her nose, and in the name of Jesus, it stopped. And she said, I've touched. That anxiety left her. She was happy. I have that faith in God, that God is real. He's tangible. He's there closer than we can even imagine. His word is true. His word is perfect. And we don't have to be like Jacob and Esau that really didn't have no patience. We need patience in God. When God is going to have you or you do something, he has already made the arrangements. All that you do is have to show up. But many people haven't learned even how to get to that place. And I didn't know how it was done either for years. It took time. And I prayed for 8 years straight. I prayed for for 2.5 hours a day, basically, and I read the Word to it, that's 5 hours a day, that I prayed double to get where I am today. But that's what that tithing is, tithing more than our money. Our money is very, because some people love their money. God wants you to give something you love. Would you give up your time to pray? Give up your time to read the Word? Give up your time to serve Him? We want it right now. We want instantaneous success from God. We don't want to pay no price. God says you got to pay a price. My son, I gave him to pay a price that you might be saved. Now will you in turn pay a price? Give yourself to me, and I, the Lord thy God, shall touch you in a mighty way. This is going to be a great service here tonight. God is going to anoint this word in a powerful way. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.